I know. Good morning. I've been even nervous about this day. I feel like there's something significant that the Lord wanted to do, not in this two-hour stretch or whatnot, but in as a pivot point for the church, as we're so grateful, and yet as we look ahead, and you've heard that refrain, and that's where we're going again. So I feel like God is doing something, and so I've been a little nervous. I want to extend a welcome again to the Bridge. Thank you for being here. Welcome to Blue Ridge folks, a couple who have come out to say, yes, we stand with you, and Ravanna folks, so thank you all for being with us. And if you happen to just come here and you're new today, and you didn't even know what you were getting yourself into, welcome, right? This is who we are. But there's some bad things too, but you'll learn those, because there's bad things in every family. But if you're here, we hope you've heard our cry, our heart's cry. God, go with us. God, we need you. If you aren't with us, we don't want to exist. We need you, Father. And so, welcome. And we'd extend for everyone here an invitation to the picnic right afterwards. You don't have to have brought a side to share. Okay, we've got the main meal. We've got dessert. That's good, right? Chicken and cake. You can eat sides. You please come and celebrate with us. The invitation is for everyone. And then after that, if you've got the energy and the passion, we're staying around to linger in prayer and worship in the mid-afternoon. So please consider that as well. So our anniversary got me reliving the 80s a little bit. A decade of big hair and Pac-Man, pleated jeans, wood-paneled minivans, Michael Jackson, Madonna, Metallica. I don't know which crowd kind of you were in, or some of you weren't born. I get that, though. But Gorbachev, Reagan, Thatcher, and then there were these guys. Now, I want to testify to how much Sherry and Amy love their husbands, because they really could have gotten worse pictures than me. I said, you know, something to make us laugh at the 80s, and that's not so bad. But there they are, 1987. And you won't see mine because I got to make the slideshow. But whatever you think of the 80s, right? We usually kind of roll our eyes. God was at work. And God was at work, as we've heard. You could have come rolling up to Walker Upper Elementary School on April 26, 1987, and found a group of about 70 folks who were obeying the call of God on their lives, nervous, excited, tired, brimming with the what if, God? What if? Will you continue to move? Will you move in the city? What if? And so cultural trends are here today and gone tomorrow, but the Lord was and is and always will be, and we stand upon his word. We stand in his spirit. And so the one who called us together is still the one who is speaking and still the one who is calling us forward. And so let's stand together as we read his word. This is a declaration of and for the church, a declaration the Apostle Paul wrote. It's one verse. We're going to belt it out together, a declaration. Let's say from 1 Corinthians, the final verse. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Thank you, God, for your word. This is God's word. Let's pray. Lord, your word is living and active. You've breathed it out by your Holy Spirit and preserved your word for all generations, that we might have a revelation of who you are, that we might have the word of power for salvation, the word to know you and follow you. And so we stand on your word, and we never leave or depart from your word, because we believe that you have spoken so that we would hear and respond. Thank you for your word. Continue to change us corporately, change us as a people, as we gaze into the truth and the power of your spoken word, Lord. Change us. We love you, Father. We love your word. We love your presence. We love you. We look forward to eternity in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And so as we remember 30 years, it's fitting to stop and to look back, right? You heard this in match prayer. You've heard this, to look back as to where we've been and then to look forward to where we're heading by God's grace. And looking back, that's a discipline. It's a discipline of remembrance. It's a discipline of remembrance. It's where we see God has been working. It's a discipline of looking at the evidence of God's faithfulness, and it builds us up for current faithfulness. And so looking back is a discipline where we say, thank you, and where we see, yes, you have worked, and you will continue to work. But looking forward is a discipline as well, right? Looking forward and being filled with faith, that is a discipline. And that's what we want to be, who we want to be as a people who are faith-filled, not holding on to wishful thinking, right? Not just inching into the future with fear, but filled with faith because we know who has called us. We know to whom we belong. And so we are filled with faith. And so on our anniversary, let's say we need both. We need remembering, and we need looking forward in faith, and we need to hold them together. And so where have we been, and where are we going? Where have we been? It may depend on what type of mind you have as you answer this question. It may depend on who you ask. You know, some of you are after data, right? And so you think, okay, 1,564 Sundays, roughly, right? I don't know if I got that math exactly. 15,000 to 18,000 small group gatherings, over $2 million given around the world for the sake of the gospel of Jesus. Thousands of people who are now on the ends of the earth who have come alongside and been part of this church family at one point or another. You know, where have we been? You could look at data like that, but that's not how you see a church, right? That's not how you see who a church really is. This is what's more important. Those who have said, you know, God grabbed a hold of me. God grabbed a hold of me through this body and brought me from death to life. We see how many of us can say, I discovered among this people the depth of God's love for me for the first time. How many can say, I found a place to belong. I found an extended family. If you get a chance to watch kind of 20 minutes of testimony that have been running in the hospitality room, 18 of them say, this is my family. Where can I go? This is God's family, and I've been grafted in. How many can say, I began to learn how to behold the glory of God? That's a journey we'll be able to continue on until forever. I begin to see and be changed by the glory of God. How many can say, I learned the joy of obedience, or I've seen God work and I am changed? Where we've been, it has to be interpreted through the lens of God's presence, of what he's done and his presence among us, because his presence changes us. I first came to CCC through those doors. Jay was here a couple months before me. We were roommates in college, but I came through here in 1997 chasing Kelly, not chasing the Lord. And I wasn't really after God. In fact, I was skeptical. What is going on here? All these people who are a little overexcited, over-serious, over-passionate about God. But God melted my heart, and God taught me by the Spirit that there's nothing better. There's nothing better. There's nothing better than following and serving him. There's, as Psalm 73 says, whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I learned that in this body and I've been changed. It was in and through this body that came alive for me, his word and the truth of his presence. And so where have we been? We've been carried along. We've been carried along, not by anything, not by any special abilities, but we've been carried along by God's mercy and grace. If we've walked through valleys too, right? If you've been here for any length of time, you know that, right? There have been hurts and wounds. There have been disappointments and arguments. There have been false starts and false alarms. Like any family, this is family, right? That's like your family. This is our family. The church gathers sinners from very different backgrounds, from very different culture, any different background you can imagine, puts us together, shoulder to shoulder, to work out what it means to love the Lord with fear and trembling. And so there have been valleys. And yet, right, and yet I am so grateful. I am so grateful for the life and the health and the vision of this body, for its deep commitment to the Word and to the Spirit married together. I'm so grateful for the modeling that minds are from God as well, and we're supposed to use them for His sake. I'm so grateful for leaders of all kinds, from pastors, elders, small group leaders, and everywhere in between who have labored in the Lord for these things. And I'm so grateful for a body as a whole that has sought to live them out. And so I stand grateful, and we do as well, I imagine. And so we look back where we've been and we say, thank you, Lord. We remember. But today is not a memorial service, right? It's not even a retirement party. We remember for the sake of God's mission. We remember for the sake of what God is calling us into, being reminded of God's faithfulness so that our faith might be fanned into flame as we look ahead. That's why we're remembering. And so where are we heading? Our prayer is this, and you've heard it. We didn't coordinate these things. Our prayer is, may you just be getting started among us, God. May this just be the tip. May you continue to pour out renewed passion and direction. May we be able to celebrate again at 50 or 60 years with stunned gratitude at all that you continue to do among us. That's our prayer. And so we're still going to long to be a people who love the Lord Jesus and take seriously His call to be His disciples. We're still going to take great joy in glad worship. We are still a people that take seriously the mission of God and His love for planting His church throughout the ends of the earth. That's who we are. But what else will need to mark us? What are some distinguishing marks that God is calling us to for a new culture in a new time in a new generation? What are those things? Because while holding on to all that God has done, we believe that there's a new day, and in this new day, He's calling us to some new ways. And this isn't a strategic plan or anything, but there are distinguishing marks of a body. And we believe He's calling us to radical generosity and to hospitality and to interdependence, mutual dependence. Generosity and hospitality and dependence. These are up in and out characteristics, if you've been around here, right? They require the Lord and one another, and they take us out into the world. They're characteristics that are found at the meeting place between community, living this life out together, and God's mission, sending us into the world. They are found where community and mission meet. Generosity, hospitality, and interdependence. And so I believe that we can move this way in faith, even with abandon and joy, moving into generosity and hospitality and interdependence. Because generosity, that's open hands. All that God pours into this body, we want to open-handed give. Our finances, resources, time, energy, we want to be marked by generosity, open-handedness, whatever it is. Hospitality, open arms. Dave and Joanna said they were welcomed with open arms. May that continue to mark us, and even more so in the days to come. May we have open arms in our homes. This is not about Sunday mornings. It's got to be more and more and more about our homes being open, our dinner tables being open places for welcoming the stranger. Hospitality. Let's be people who take these mealtimes seriously and overflow with hospitable love toward those who are different from us. That takes courage. And so, interdependence, that's never doing it alone. Never being generous or hospitable or walking out our faith, being a disciple, never doing it alone. Standing with one another, standing with brothers and sisters, standing with other churches, having a broad view of God's kingdom and how He works in all different ways, in all different churches, and standing right there with God and His people for His kingdom's sake. Interdependence on micro level here and then macro level as God calls us in Charlottesville and around the world. And so we have no idea what these coming years hold, right? Anybody who says they know what 5 years from now is going to look like, they're fooling themselves, right? That's not reality. But we know the one who has been in those waters. They are uncharted to us, but we know the one who has been there and who is preparing the place for us. And so we rise up in faith and say, Lord, mark us with these things as we head and follow you. And so finally, there's another discipline. And it's the one that stands between looking back and looking ahead. It's the one that stands between remembering and faith and holds them together and applies God's faithfulness to our present reality. And what is that? That's going to bring us back around to the verse we read together. It's perseverance. Perseverance. Don't think of just kind of a white-knuckling it, like, oh no, I hope we make it through, but perseverance with hope and joy and faithfulness, born from the victory of Jesus over sin and death, strengthened by the Holy Spirit, perseverance. It's what this last verse of 1 Corinthians 15 captures, hopeful, strong, courageous. We want to be a people in the next 30 years who have a resurrection-born perseverance. In times of trouble, in times of hostility, in all that he is calling us to continue to look forward because of the resurrection of Jesus. Can we acknowledge together that it's a lot safer just to kind of hold up in a huddle of sorts and try to keep things the way they always were? And that's a natural tendency, is it not? Okay, let's just, are you happy? Okay, is this family, is it safe? Okay, everybody hold still. Don't move. We're balancing everything just right. No, that's human nature. Okay, happy, healthy, safe, check. That's not what God is calling us to. We can be too safe. We can be too comfortable. We can be too risk averse. And that's not what God's calling us to. We can be contented in the wrong ways. Not contented in God, but contented in a position. Contented in the way things are. That's not what God is calling us to. The gospel moves us out, right? The gospel is on the move. We've been seeing that in the book of Acts. The gospel takes the church on the move for the sake of Christ. And so we trust God for who he says he is and that he knows what he's doing. Change is unsettling, is it not? It always is. If I'm going to leave what I know and what is safe and what I love and move to somewhere else, that's hard. That's difficult. There's loss there. But God is here. And he says, come, come. I'm here. Trust me. And so the joy and the pull of the unknown has to outweigh the comfort that we feel in the present place. And so that's my prayer. God, call us out continually with the power of the resurrection to obey your voice and to move where you're calling us. And so what will prompt our willingness to serve Christ, whatever he calls? Resurrection. What does the resurrection do? It produces perseverance. I'm not much of a King James person, but I love I don't know why. This has always stuck in my mind, this version of 1 Corinthians 15 says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. May that be our cry. May that be where we stand. Lord, this is one of the key verses in my life. Because of the resurrection, our victory is sure. Sin and Satan are do not win, right? Because of the resurrection, our call is clear to live for him. To live for him in everything we do, in our workplaces, in our families, in our neighborhoods, to live for him. Because of the resurrection, our end is sure, right? Mortality and death is swallowed up in immortality. That's the hope of Scripture. That's the hope of Christ's resurrection. And so to be generous, to be hospitable, to be on mission with Christ, we will need courage. And the Scripture says, be steadfast, immovable because of the resurrection. There is courage in the resurrection. We will need devotion. And the Scripture says the resurrection produces devotion in us. It makes us passionate for who the Lord is. We will need devotion. We will need a daily reminder of our purpose. And God says, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's not empty. It's not futile. We can give ourselves to all that he's calling us to, because even if we don't see the result, our labors are not futile. They're not hollow. That's God's promise to us as a church. We're not wasting our time. And so even when it seems like nothing is happening, God is saying, no, this is not empty. This is not hollow. I am painting your labors into my grand picture of the kingdom. I am painting your efforts, your energies into the grand picture of all that I am doing to save the world. You have a part to play. God's saying that to us as a church. You have a continued part to play. And so persevere. Persevere. Christ community, we have a part to play. And let's look forward to the next year, the next 5 years, the next 30 years with hope and with gratitude, looking back, persevering because of what the Spirit is doing in us. And so, Father, none of this will happen from any talking. None of this will happen because we will ourselves to try to be different. It happens because you change us. You fall upon us by your Holy Spirit. You do the steady work of slow transformation over a lifetime. It happens because of you. And so, Lord, persevere us as a body, we pray. Do not let us go alone. And certainly not without your presence, but do not let us go alone without one another. Let us be together as we persevere with our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen. We love you, Lord. We love you. Rest upon us as we continue to seek to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.